We're people who, you know, say that they were at, you know, basically at the end of the rope. They've been given a death sentence, and now they have new hope because there's treatment options that may not have been available to them locally, and it's opened the door to new treatment options.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to HIMSCast. My name is Mike Milliard. I'm Executive Editor of Healthcare IT News, a HIMSS publication. I'm here today with Frank McGillin, who's the CEO of the Clinic by Cleveland Clinic. And we're going to talk about how digital health tools are leading to cost savings for cancer patients. Welcome, Frank. Thanks for being here.
Mike, thanks for having me.
You know, first, perhaps, I was wondering if you could just say a bit about the Clinic by Cleveland Clinic. You know, for those who may not know, what is it? You know, who's behind it? What does it offer patients? It's not to be confused with the Cleveland Clinic itself, correct?
Yeah. Well, the Clinic by Cleveland Clinic is a joint venture between Cleveland Clinic and Amwell. I think most people probably are well aware of the Cleveland Clinic, 100-year-old academic medical center, many firsts in across all fields with a real depth in cardiology. Our other partner is Amwell. Amwell's a leader in telehealth technology. And the whole genesis of this joint venture was, how do we use digital technology, telehealth, as well as other technology to unlock access to the world's best healthcare expertise? Cleveland Clinic has, you know, 3,500 specialists and subspecialists, and really goes deep in very rare conditions and can bring a level of expertise that most people don't have access to around the globe. So how do we use telehealth? How do we use digital health to make that available? Today, we're doing that through a virtual expert second opinion program where we help people who may have gotten a recent cancer diagnosis or other complex condition. They have questions, they're concerned, don't know where to turn. And we really help them, first off, formulate the questions. You know, what really is important to them? What have they learned so far? So that we can help match them with the right expert to help them guide their pathways. And in this process, we're able to help them get clarity in terms of both their condition or the diagnosis they're confronting, but also what are their options in front of them.
You know, as a pioneer in virtual care delivery, then, how have the services that you offer there at the clinic evolved in recent years, especially as patients have become much more receptive and understanding of telehealth and the benefits that it can bring? You know, as telehealth and virtual care have gained wider understanding, you know, since the pandemic, have things changed at all about the way, you know, that you guys are delivering care there in Cleveland?
Well, I think that, you know, the pandemic has absolutely accelerated and I think compressed probably what have been 10 to 15 years worth of progress into a very short period. Mm-hmm. Because people had to. I think what's happened in that period is it's raised expectation. You know, there was a study done by Bain & Company, the consulting firm, that showed that versus 3 years ago, 70% of healthcare consumers are looking for, you know, basically raise standards versus where they were pre-pandemic. We've evolved over that time frame. But at the end of the day, you know, we've really been guided by one thing is, you know, how do we help that person at the other, that has come to us? How do we help them achieve their goals? And how do we help them as they're confronting, you know, a diagnosis to access that professional and make the right decisions for their individual needs?
So perhaps talk about some of that care that you're delivering. You know, you mentioned that there are hundreds of specialties being offered through the clinic. You know, maybe talk about oncology in particular. You know, how are you serving cancer patients?
Yeah, cancer patients, it's, you know, one of our top specialties that patients come to us with questions. And it kind of makes sense given the severity of the condition. Mm-hmm. We see cancer patients coming in both through health plans as well as individuals who come to us direct to consumer. And typically, you know, the severity of it raises a lot of questions that people want answered. And, you know, what we find is that, first off, people are confused. They don't necessarily know. You know, they know they want to speak to a specialist. They don't know which specialist. They've been confronted maybe with one or multiple treatment options, and they're really trying to say, what's the best path forward for me? You know, we had a case a couple weeks ago where it was a rare kidney condition, and the, you know, which is not surprising, the patient thought they needed to speak to a nephrologist, and they, you know, I should talk to a kidney specialist. Well, actually, this this condition, it was really more of a rheumatology condition. Now, if the patient was on their own, they would have been out hunting and chasing and trying to chase down the right specialist. We help folks navigate to that right specialist. So one thing that makes Cleveland Clinic really, I think, ideally suited for a virtual second opinion program gets back to the operating philosophy of Cleveland Clinic physicians. Cleveland Clinic physicians are all staff physicians, so there's never been a financial incentive for a Cleveland Clinic physician to do anything other than recommend what's best for that patient. So, you know, reality is that there are some financial incentives that drive some healthcare behavior, and we try to put that to the side. The other reality is that depending on what specialist you're talking to, they may, you know, tend to lean you towards one approach versus another. Well, if you take prostate cancer, for example, there's surgical options, there's medical options, there's radiology options. Even in radiation oncology for prostate cancer, there's various directions you can take there. And depending on who you're talking to, they may be pointing you one direction versus another. And, you know, we're able to not only bring in that necessarily one specialist, but depending on the cancer condition, we'll often bring together a panel of specialists. You know, again, it could be a radiation oncologist, a surgeon, and a medical oncologist to opine on the case and actually come to the solution that really is best on the unique and specific needs of that patient.
And virtual care, you know, is enabling that collaboration much more easily and seamlessly than it would have been otherwise without.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're providing the service globally. So if you kind of think about, you know, some people are lucky enough to live within driving distance or commuting distance to, you know, a high quality medical institution. But, you know, large swaths of the world don't have that convenience. So the virtual technology lets you access not only one, but potentially multiple physicians to help get really that best advice you need.
What are some other digital health tools that are being deployed in these instances? I mean, obviously it's not just a webcam that's being used. I mean, are you using other technologies, you know, more sophisticated remote monitoring and stuff like that?
Yes, for our current service, we're not deploying remote patient monitoring. We're starting to use more automation, you know, and it really delivers two tools. It helps the clinicians practice at top of their license, but also if you think about a process, you know, our process starts with an intake, live intake on a video with a registered nurse who really captures what that patient's questions are, understands the history of that patient. There's record collection. I wish I could say that, you know, record collection was fully automated, but, you know, reality is interoperability isn't here. So there's still a lot of blocking and tackling that happened there. You know, we run the process through the EHR because that's how the physicians operate, and it makes it easy. Makes it easier for the physician, which helps us cut down in the time frame. And then we're adding automations to both help prepare that patient for the experience, to help keep them apprised of the progress throughout that care journey, to make it easier to ask questions at the right time and to deliver the content in a way that kind of meets the needs of the patient and meets them where they are. So, yeah, I think we'll see more and more use of automation and new tools to help us, I think, expand the care and improve the overall patient and customer experience.
Excellent. And so what about cost savings? I mean, the experience part is great, but, you know, cost savings is a key here as well. You know, what have you been able to achieve with approaches like this?
Yeah, I think the reality is that, you know, there's still a lot of misdiagnosis out there. We find about a third of the time there's a change in the diagnosis based on a second opinion. Two-thirds of the time there's a change in the recommended care pathway. The prostate example, you know, surgery may not be the best approach, you should consider this a radiation oncology approach. We find that when there's a change in diagnosis or treatment, we're on average, we're saving about $12,000 per patient. So it does add real dollars and cents, but more importantly, you know, that patient, that member is actually on the right path and is, you know, from a quality of life and impact is has the confidence that they're making the right decision.
And, you know, what do you hear from patients as far as the patient experience? I mean, I'm guessing you get some pretty good feedback about their use of the virtual care approach.
We get very positive feedback. I mean, the experience is important to us. We survey each and every person that goes through it. Mm-hmm. We are people who, you know, say that they were at, you know, basically at the end of the rope. They've been given a death sentence, and now they have new hope. Because there's treatment options that may not have been available to them locally, and it's opened the door to new treatment options. But even if people who participate in the program, even if there's no change in diagnosis or there's no change in the recommended pathways, they have, you know, they're confident in they're doing the right thing, and they're taking all the steps necessary to be proactive in their healthcare, and there's tremendous value in that.
What are some lessons that other health systems, you know, obviously Cleveland Clinic and the clinic at the Cleveland Clinic, you know, you guys are world leaders. What are lessons that other health systems can learn from some of the pioneering work you're doing there, as far as deploying it or putting it to best use?
Yes, is a joint venture between an academic medical center and a technology company. It would have been really easy just to say, how do we throw a lot of technology at right. the patient? But we really said, you know, we've got two key stakeholders in this process, that patient, that healthcare member who's coming to us with the problem. How do we really design this around their needs, understanding where their head's at, understanding, you know, both the stressors it may have in their life, and, you know, how do we really design a process around them to make it convenient, to have our, you know, be available after hours, those sorts of things. We also said that this doesn't work unless we get full engagement of the clinicians and the expert physicians of Cleveland Clinic. And we made sure we designed the technology, the workflows to really work around them. And I think because of that, you know, we're getting the synergistic value of having something that works for both the provider as well as the patient and the individual at the other end of the spectrum.
You mentioned increased use of automation. You know, what about artificial intelligence? I mean, what do you see as far as the future and using that in tandem with virtual care?
Yeah, I think the power of artificial intelligence, I mean, I think it's incredible. You look at all the stuff, and you know, if you play with ChatGPT, it's pretty amazing the stuff that the capabilities it has, whether it's writing limericks, giving you directions. I don't think it's ready for prime time with healthcare. If you talk about healthcare delivery, because the stakes are too high, you know, you're dealing with cancer diagnosis. Close isn't good enough. There was an article I read this morning where the chatbot was at the end. This was New York Times journalist. The chatbot at the end was, you know, telling the interviewer that he loved. She or it loved him and suggested that he leaves his wife. It's amusing, but you know, that technology is not ready for healthcare. But you know, I think over time, you know, starting with sort of back office applications and thinking about more of the customer service end, I think it'll start gaining traction. And I think in terms of helping support clinical decisions, that you know, we'll absolutely get there. So I'm excited about the future, but I think we also need to take it a step at a time.
I think so too. I read that article and it was a bit disquieting to put it plainly. But yeah, certainly a brave new world. Well, Frank, I really want to take the time to thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate your insights and it was great to talk to you.
Mike, it was great meeting you. Great chatting with you.
Thanks. And thanks to our audience for listening to this episode of HIMSCast. We encourage you to rate and review us. And if you like what you hear, Please subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play. Thanks again, Frank. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.